This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Yeah, you know, Todd, Denise, and I have become very immature people during the break. We're looking at funny court cases on TikTok. That's what we do during the break. We're glad to have you back, hour three. We appreciate you. We applied our deodorant, and we lathered up with soap to make sure that we're clean, and everything's ready to go. We're social distancing, 6 feet apart, maybe 6.5 feet, and Cal's behind the glass, so therefore we're not worried about him. He can do whatever he wants. Today we're going to have a good time, hour three, talking about Justin Bieber, who's filing a $20 million lawsuit. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about maybe a couple other things, including Bayer and the Roundup settlement cases. We're going to talk about that. FIFA, if those of you don't know, that is soccer. Isn't that like a World Soccer Association?
Yeah, World Cup.
World Cup. And then there's some issues going on there with some bribery that and some prosecutions and or convictions.
No.
And appeals. I know. But
it's a really good legal issue.
It's very interesting legal issues, especially about jurisdiction and how, you know, officials from other countries can be held liable for bribery, et cetera, and, you know, here in the United States. And we're going to talk about that and how that works. And then we're going to do a case or no case. And then the most important thing we do at the end of the third hour is what?
Quick takes.
That's where we go to, after talking 3 hours about different legal issues and non-legal issues, especially Katz and Todd, listen to hour number one. It'll be very interesting for you. We will have those podcasts up much quicker this time than before, as they are slowly going up. Call us at 855-LAW-RADIO or tweet us at RadioLawTalk.com. Remember, we're talking about general topics of law. Seek local counsel. We're not giving legal advice. And with that, Cal, the most important thing that people are here for is one thing and one thing only, and that's case or no case.
And now it's time to play case or no case, and with our panel who tries to figure out if I'm telling them the truth or if I'm lying to them about a potential case or just making up scenarios, all of which are possible. So let's get started on this. I have to find this. I'm going to tell you this involves a gentleman, Frederick Brunswick. Let me go to my computer. I love it. Frederick Brunswick lives in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and had some money. He worked at a frame.
Hold on. I hear music in the background.
Okay.
There we go.
Yeah, he had worked at an automotive frame building plant called A.O. Smith.
Where? In Brunswick? Where?
No, his last name was Brunswick. He lived in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Oh.
And A.O. Smith is a car frame building plant in Kenosha, Wisconsin. So he would drive down there to go to work every day, and he saved money. He was a good retirement guy. And then he got old. And as he began to age, well, his kids began to look at his estate and go, gee, what's going on with Dad? And, of course, you know what happened then. Into his life walks a lovely young woman who says, hey, Fred, her name, Andrea Sismondi. Ms. Sismondi says, Fred and I are in love, and we want to get married.
Of course.
And Fred wanted to get married, too. He thought Andrea was pretty hot. The kids were highly suspect. And so as soon as they got official word of the plans, here's what they did. They were very clever. They said, we want to get married, let's just say June 5th. They called the church after the date was announced and postponed it for another 3 months. Said, oh, they didn't mean June 5th. They meant September. They called the preacher. They put that off. They called the flower person. They put that off. They called the photographer. They put that off. And Ms. Sismondi was most upset by this. She said, you know, I think you're doing me wrong. So I'm going to go see if I can, you know, come back at you with counsel. So I think Denise gets to go first this time.
Yes,
Denise,
does.
What do you think? Did Ms. Sismondi have a legal leg to stand on?
Perhaps. There is a concept called interference with confidential relationship. And there is, if in Wisconsin there is such a legal theory, then perhaps she could sue to get an injunction against the family members, and also for damages for the failure to, you know, for the interference with her confidential relationship. However, they can then countersue her for, you know, interference with their familiar relationship, perhaps.
Is there a gold digging statute, I wonder? I mean, if you think someone's gold digging, can you just go to the court and say, Your Honor, they're obviously being a gold digger here? I mean,
well, it could be elder abuse. It could come under elder abuse, since
right.
She's an older person.
That's what happens quite often.
That's right. So this is what I think. I think that it could very well be a case, but I'm going to say that it's not a case. But it could be a scenario.
Okay, Mr. Penny, what say you, case or no case?
The minute you finished this, I knew exactly my answer. I knew my analysis. I remember an attorney that has since retired for our firm, a very nice man, that his father was a prominent doctor and lived with his wife and married for, I don't know, 48 years, 50 years. The wife passed, and boy, oh boy, there's a beautiful young lady he got married to that was about 20, 30 years younger, maybe 30 years. And stuff started disappearing. And I remember this lawyer, our lawyer, was in court, you know, because he was the executor of the estate, fighting, you know, this woman constantly from taking what was going to go eventually to all the children. And so that this is so common. This is nothing unusual, Cal.
I didn't realize it was common.
Oh, it happens a lot. And I'm going to say this is a true scenario, but not a case.
So you're saying no case. Okay, you're agreeing with Denise.
Which is a problem. When Denise and I agree, we always lose.
We do. I know I'm worried.
Yeah, I know.
Mr. Kunin, what do you think about this?
You should just go opposite of us right away.
What was the age difference between the two?
Well, she was in her 30s, and he was in his 80s.
30 so, and 80.
Yeah.
What was the famous star?
Well, you know, may it please the court. I will start off by saying, the Declaration of Independence says that all people are entitled to inalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
He's standing, by the way.
Who are we to discriminate against an 80-year-old man who is pursuing happiness in the loving embrace of a 30-year-old new bride? And the fact is, while it could be elder abuse, while it could be all of those other things, if it is not shown that the 80-year-old is not in his right mind and he's able to make decisions of his own accord and free will, there's really nothing that they can do about it. In fact, I think that the kids actually might have liability in the sense that if they are calling the church and representing themselves as if they represent the father, moving the dates and stuff, they could have an identity theft issue. They could have interference with those contracts. So I am going to say that the 30-year-old spouse consults the attorney and is able to get an injunction, because you have not mentioned that there was any sort of elder abuse. Based on the facts that you have said, I think she was able to go in and get an injunction to keep the kids from mucking things up.
So you're saying it was love.
Absolutely.
True love.
It is either true love or how to spot the rich guy. One of those two.
Let me put my money on one of those.
I'm going to say true love. It is a case, and the 30-year-old new spouse prevails in getting the court to order the kids to leave them alone.
Oh, I didn't tell you, by the way.
Yeah, he died in
Fred died. I'm sorry.
All right, let's come back and talk about it. Cal set it up good. I hope Denise and I are right.
All right, we're having a little computer thing, so we're going to run the break station. Don't worry, your breaks will start at the correct time, so hang with us here on Radio Law Talk as Windows is working on updates. I love that. We'll be right back. Hold on.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com. Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
RadioBobTalk.com.
We're back. We're playing around, talking about Justin Bieber. Todd doesn't have his mics on.
I got my mic on.
So this time we're going to talk a little bit. Hold on. Case or no case. I'm so excited to talk about Justin.
Cal threw a curveball.
Yes, he did.
And his curveball. Cal, what is the deal here? So we got 80-year-old marries a 30-year-old after his spouse died, and the kids are like, hold the phone, Leon.
You're not going to be able to do that and give away our inheritance to her. And she says, but we're in love.
Yes.
We're in love. And then after that, the young lady said, you people, you postponed our wedding, and so I couldn't get married to him, and then he died before I could get married to him.
And that was the fact that you withheld.
Yes, and I call myself guilty on that, Your Honor.
But you know what? That is not going to change my answer. I still think she prevails because I think she's going to argue that if the kids hadn't changed the wedding date, she would have been the spouse at the time of death.
Right.
Not just the girlfriend or the fiancé because they changed it.
And how do you know they would have?
Well, because they were supposed to be married. His thing was they were supposed to be married on June 5th, and the kids called up and continued it to September 5th, and sometime between June 5th and September 5th, the
guy
dies.
I'm saying, how do you know something else? He might have changed his mind and said, no, I want to kick it over, or their car broke down or something.
They could have, but there's, you know, that's speculation. We're going to speculate versus what actually happened. They were supposed to get married.
Well, probably what happened is that she went to the hospital and they got married secretly before he died.
Oh, that'd be nice.
That would be nice. So I'm still going to say she prevails because the kids interfered with her ability to marry him, and I still think that she prevails on it. I'm not changing my answer.
I think it's true love.
I do, too. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness.
Not that an old man would ever look at a young woman with anything going, oh,
yeah, I know,
baby.
I know many 30-year-olds out there at the rest homes going, check him out, baby. Hey, let's go. You want to head down to the bar? You want to head down to the club? No. Let's head to the rest home, girls. We're heading over there. Oh, wow, look at that 80-year-old. Yeah,
maybe she worked at his life insurance company. You never know. Okay.
Someone listening to us can probably.
I just see the old guy going, you're calling up his... stockbroker saying, I'll tell you what, put everything into Cialis. Why is that?
Right now.
Trust me, the stock price is going up because I'm getting married in about a week.
And
you know?
I've ordered an industrial-sized supply. So,
yes.
For those of you who say this is a case, that would be Todd. Okay.
Oh, Todd.
It was not a case?
Not a case.
Oh,
I made the whole thing up. Those of you who say it was a case, that
no, it was
be...
not a case. We
Thank
said
you.
It was not a case.
That's right.
Denise
those of you who say it was not a case and that Cal made the whole thing up, well,
yes,
congratulations to you. You got it perfectly done.
Yes.
And it was no case. And congratulations to
Let me
Denise.
Tell you how that
That's
came
right.
about.
Yeah.
Cal, let me tell you how it came about.
Yeah.
I know. I know that by, like, Johnny Carson used to, he,
yeah.
what was he to sit?
Karnak the Magnificent.
Karnak the Magnificent. Yeah. Cal was dreaming, and he thought about, let's see, what happened? I'm 80,
no.
and let's see.
I was thinking of my wife, actually.
My poor bride is not with me somehow, and oh my gosh, there's 30-year-olds now. Is that what happened, Cal?
No, actually, I think my wife told me that she would be delighted to go find herself a a young man to take her through her older years after I pass.
Yeah.
And I said, go for it, honey.
Go for it. You ain't getting nothing anyway. They're nothing
exactly.
again. Good luck.
Yeah. Hope it all goes
all
well
right,
for
so
you.
All right, that's more points for Denise and I, and that is what, Cal?
No case. That's
or
it.
No case.
That's it. That's
All right.
it. Get on board
so
the love train.
I was so excited to get into Justin Bieber stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love. Yeah. I'm not gonna. I'm hesitant to say this, but I'm gonna say it. I'm just gonna say it. I'm not gonna say who he is. I got a friend, and I have a lot of people that I know that he's in his 60s, and I'm in my late 50s, so he's close to my age, and you know, thank heavens, he's a wonderful man, and. He looks in his late 60s or more, and he just got remarried to a 24-year-old, 25-year-old.
Oh, come on, really?
And that's okay, and I'm okay
well,
with
good
that.
For him, yeah.
I'm okay with that, but stop posting all over Facebook pictures with the two of you in love, all right?
Oh.
Stop it, stop
well,
it.
Well, as the old joke goes, she's going to expect a lot more than just the laying on of hands. Wait a minute. Oh, come on.
All right, let's talk about Justin. Denise, can you roll us in or talk?
We need to, get serious here, guys.
Can we talk about Justin?
I don't know that we can say we need to get serious and then talk about Justin Bieber, but let's try. Go ahead.
I actually think this is a lawsuit that's timely.
All right.
This is a case where Justin Bieber alleges that two people that could be the same person,
right.
He's not sure, but he's basically getting catfished by him, and they have made posts out there and tweets out there accusing him of sexual assault. And they did so much as to say the exact day and the time that it occurred, and he can prove that he was not where they say he was on those dates. So he filed a $20 million defamation suit.
$20 million
over these yeah. $20 million defamation suit over these sexual assault tweets.
Okay, they're tweets of two individuals, or maybe one with two different names. Who are you suing, Denise? The Twitter handle? Because it's just a Twitter handle. You're suing the Twitter handle?
Yeah, but he can identify him. He can call him Doe's. Right,
okay, but how do you find this person that's got a Twitter handle?
By their, what's it called, URL? Is that how it is? Yes, something like that. Because what he can do is he can discover what's behind that handle, if you will, and then it goes back and it leads back to a certain identifier. Yeah.
It leads back to a specific IP address, and there are some hoops that they have to jump through. Essentially, what they do is the lawsuit has to be filed first, because you can't issue a subpoena unless you have a lawsuit, because a lawsuit is a court order. Once they get the lawsuit filed, they then issue a subpoena, for example, to Twitter, asking for the identifying information of the user with this specific handle. And what they're looking for is any information that was put in to create the profile, which was probably all fake. But the thing that's not is the IP address. The issue they're going to run into is if they were using one of these anonymizers, and we used to run into this all the time as a criminal prosecutor, you can get these folks that they might be sitting in the same town as you, but from an IP address, it makes it look like it's coming from Amsterdam or Denmark. It
right.
masks it. So I don't know if they're going to get what they want, but they'll try.
Well, we're going to be back in a minute, but I'll tell you that one of the things, I want to briefly say one of the tweets that she tweeted out when we come back, but we'll be back after the break.
All right, pay no mind stations. You can run your brakes at your usual time. Still having a computer meltdown, but don't worry, I'll pick up the pieces in just a little bit. Here on Radio Law Talk, everything is fine. All is well. Don't go away.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
President Donald Trump has now signed an executive order to protect all national monuments, memorials, and statues. The president said those who vandalize the monuments will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. And Interior Secretary David Bernhardt speaks on protesters who continue to tear down historical statues.
Well, the reality is that the destruction of government property in a deliberate manner is a crime that carries with it a very severe and significant penalty. We are ensuring that we, when we have an opportunity, we arrest individuals, and we're asking the Department of Justice to prosecute them to the full extent of the law.
The first test of the new policy should be coming in Washington, D.C. over the weekend, as protesters have threatened for the last week to tear down the Emancipation Statue of Abraham Lincoln. This is USA Radio News.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com.
And now back to the show. Here are Fred, Todd, and Denise as Radio Law Talk continues on this Saturday, the 27th of June.
We're ready to go.
Here we go. We're on now. Let's go. Here we go.
All right. All I got to say is Cal's in there playing around. We're just sitting here looking at each other.
Well, I tried to give you time cues, but I didn't yell loudly enough, so forgive me. Okay. My fault.
Hey, you want
to
yell at me, please?
So, Justin Bieber, we're talking about that case. You know what's interesting about that case? He brought a $20 million lawsuit against some Twitter account, two people that are supposedly stalkers, and they think that they may the two separate Twitter accounts might be the same person. But this is what's interesting. Bieber's suit notes that a month after this, Katie posted, you know, these things about him that she claims to have been assaulted. She tweeted, quote, "I swear if we don't meet," as in to Justin, "I'll find you and blank you," you know. So they're using all these malicious statements, you know, toward this crazed person and filing a $20 million lawsuit. I'll put a 50 cents or a nickel on it that the person doesn't have $20 million to go ahead and pay.
But the issue is, how can he, if he's come out and made it plain that this is all false and phony baloney, what damage is he going to get from this?
Well, it damaged his reputation.
Right.
It's per se. It's a per se defamation. And what that means is she's accused him of being a criminal and assaulting her, sexually assaulting her.
Right.
And that is a per se.
That's serious.
That means that all you have to do is show she made that statement against him and that he did not do that. And that's it. She's going to be
liable. So the liability needle goes up to the
That's right.
There that
and
point.
Then he okay. can show maybe even punitive damages against her because it was fraud.
Sure.
So it could possibly be, not that he's going to ever go to collect on it, that's a different issue, but it's a symbolic issue. And he made a comment, he says, every claim of sexual abuse should be taken very seriously, and this is why my response is needed to dispute these claims, because it didn't happen. And in today's world, with Me Too,
well, he's alleging
he needed to say that.
Yeah, yeah.
He
yeah.
needed to say
yeah.
that.
Sure. Yeah, and I think just to piggyback on what Denise just said here, Let's analyze it from the standpoint of, let's say these allegations were made by these two folks on Twitter and Justin Bieber did nothing. He knows it's false. He knows that they can't sue him because they're saying this stuff happened back in 2014 and 2015. That's their claim.
How convenient.
And yeah. and so, you know, they've got issues there with the age of the case and the ability to bring it against him and why they waited so long. So they make the allegation and he does nothing. And then it sits out there, and somebody gets it, and, you know, Bieber was accused of this and didn't say anything. And then the public perception is it's an admission by his silence that he says nothing. Whereas if he can take a proactive approach and not only say that, if he comes out on Twitter and says, this did not happen, he still suffers damages to his reputation because it's he said, she said. But in the complaint that he filed, I'm reading it here, they talk about the allegations and they say these allegations are factually impossible because the dates don't match up. He wasn't there. And this whole thing is using the court system in a very elaborate way. Because, like you said, Denise, he's not going to collect any money from it. But it's a way to do damage control, because if he says nothing, the court of public opinion will find him guilty.
So Bieber says, I will meet you on the battlefield.
Exactly.
You summon me to the battlefield, and I'm coming, and I'm bringing my weapons, and we're going to go at it.
And I'm choosing that battlefield in form, right?
And what's ultimately going to happen is either he's going to identify the person that's able to come in, or he's going to be able to show, this doesn't go back to anybody, this whole thing was fictitious. Either way, he's doing far more to protect his reputation than if he just stayed silent.
Do you think there's some people out there, Fred, and you would know, that just kind of look around and say, you know, I don't have any money. I need to come up with a way of getting some money from some big name person because I don't have any and I should have some.
Yes, they do that all the time. And that's what's interesting. I worry about it, and I'm going to segue into this. Do you worry about the virus outbreak and suing businesses because they got the coronavirus?
I do.
And how are they going to be able to prove that? But the first ones occurred, Cal, in Oakland, California, where a McDonald's was shut down, and the employees are claiming that they were forced to work while contagious. And this all may be true. I'm just saying, here we go. In Illinois, they're starting to file lawsuits. There's a lawsuit filed also in Illinois saying that they got COVID from work. And, basically right now the judge, they're shut down these McDonald's that are down in Oakland, California. It's a little ironic, and in a way I feel sorry for the employer who says they also are repairing damage from looters to some degree or something that occurred in Oakland to the McDonald's during I don't know if it was a protest or I don't know what it was, but there was a lot of damage done to the building. They're doing that, and they get this lawsuit by the employees, and the judge tell them they're going to stay closed until certain safety measures occur before they reopen.
And one of the claims in the lawsuit is really interesting because it's based on a public nuisance, which is basically the private attorney general type of a suit where these private citizens are actually acting on behalf of the public at large and trying to enjoin this franchise from continuing to operate while it's not safe to do so.
So here's their argument. They simply, quote, want to work. They want to come back to work, the employees, under conditions that don't threaten their lives and the lives of their family, neighbors, and friends. What a broad, open statement. And I worry about anyone saying, well, you're threatening my life and my family and my neighbors and my friends. And it's like, you know what? I guess every business can be pointed at. Walmart, you know, you can, every single person, who knows what you're going to be around and where you're going to get it. Every single person is suspect. But I hope the government is going to legislate some stuff that's going to give some protection. And again, I'm a plaintiff's lawyer. I'm for the people. So, but there has to be a balance here, and I'm curious of how hard they're going to come down on some businesses.
Well, you raised an interesting point there, Fred, when you talked about how are they going to prove causation. And I think that the thing is people forget when it comes to lawsuits, it's very common, because I get this question a lot as well. What can I do to prevent a lawsuit? You can't do anything really to prevent a lawsuit. I mean, look, we've done case or no case and all sorts of things where frivolous lawsuits are filed. You can't do anything to prevent the filing that starts the process. However, you can do a lot of things to build in defenses based upon everything that you've got, and the defense there would be the causation. And so the issue here is, how much damage do I suffer as a defendant in a case like this as the employer in that period of time between the filing of the lawsuit that I couldn't prevent and my ultimate defense, which is this virus could have been caused a number of ways that I had no control over. And in that area between those two is,
right.
I hope we can settle, I hope we can do this, I hope we can defend it, we can get a summary judgment motion in our favor, but that's where the litigation is going to be.
Do you think that people filing the suit are going to go back to the McDonald's, should it reopen, and say, hey, when do I get my job back?
They're saying they want it.
Oh, yeah.
But is there any chance of that happening? If you were an employer, would you hire those people
back? I don't know. Maybe they can't discriminate. I don't know.
Well, and the problem here is if they're bringing the lawsuit claiming that the conditions were unsafe, and then they go to get their job back, and the employer says, well, forget you, we're not going to hire you. Now they've just gotten another lawsuit for discrimination for filing what they're going to claim was a whistleblower lawsuit because the working conditions were unsafe.
All right.
And so, yeah, the employers...
He's in a lose-lose situation.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Here's one of the employer's quotes from one of the employees that these businesses, this McDonald's, is, quote, correctly, the reason they did this and stayed open is, quote, it's directly attributable to defendants' cold-hearted economic decision. It's like, how about we're going to go bankrupt if we don't, you know, there's got to be a balance somewhere.
How's it cold-hearted to keep your employees working and keep a neighborhood?
But they're saying,
the allegations are that they kept them working knowing that certain employees had already tested positive for coronavirus, so they should have put the other employees out on a two-week quarantine at the very least.
There should have been some quarantine issues.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. But my point is, when does you know? How do you know? Where is it? I mean, when's it going to end? I think it's going to be tough.
And one of the things that spurs this, because you might ask this question, why are you suing this guy? Because he was going to employ you. If you don't, you're out of a job. Except in some states, I know in Hawaii this was the case, I know of one person in particular that is making more money per month on the stimulus money and unemployment he receives than he is on his regular job.
That's with most people, quite
honestly.
And so
that's why there's the incentive to sue, because by making me work, I'm making less money.
But hello, they didn't sue for money. They sued for injunctive relief.
Right.
So we got to remember that. And that really does show that they're trying to keep their job, and they feel that they're trying to protect even the customers. I mean, they're trying to protect the people.
Well, we're going to talk about this later, but Roundup settlement and FIFA we're going to talk about when we come back. We'll be right back.
Last segment of Radio Law Talk is coming up here very soon. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss it.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Jason Rosbach.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
If you pay my fee, I'll take your case. Oh, come on.
You're listening to RadioLawTalk.com. And now back to your host, Frederick Penny.
You know, we've been talking about these Roundup weed killer cases for quite some time, and the lawsuits flying in against Roundup. By the way, Bayer bought Roundup out for 68. What's not Roundup? What's
Monsanto?
Monsanto for $68 million, $63 million in 2018, and inherited all these lawsuits. But which is interesting to me is, I don't know what lawyers or how this purchase occurred. But you know, why would you purchase something and then take all these lawsuits on? Maybe they didn't know about them, but I know lawyers set this up as, well, we're just buying your asset, not the lawsuits. You're still going to be liable, Monsanto for, you know, these lawsuits.
I think at the purchase there was a distinction between ones that were filed that Monsanto will still have to take care of and the ones that are newer. Yeah, there was some kind of a distinction between them, but it ends up on Bayer's back.
And what we don't know is, all right, if there were no lawsuits, what would the value have been? Let's say the value is hypothetically $100 million. and they ended, wait, what did they purchase for?
163 million.
Okay, so let's say the total value was $100 billion, but then they negotiated down to 68 billion because of the liability that exists for the lawsuits. If that occurred, then that would be why they purchased it, because they got a discount on the price, and you know they realized they could settle it. And if it was worth 100, and they end up paying 10 billion after 68 billion, that's 78 billion. They still got it for 22 billion less than they thought. So
right.
What's interesting about this settlement is that it also has a portion of that $10 billion that's going toward future cases that are being brought, which binds future plaintiffs,
which
is very interesting.
Well, here's the interesting thing about this whole thing. We said interesting the word too many times, but it comes down to a word by the name of glyphosate. Glyphosate is the big issue. It's in Roundup, whether or not it has been found to be a carcinogen that can cause cancer, and namely blood cancer. And there are arguments back and forth saying it can and it can't. And like you said, Todd, there's an issue of how do you prove if you died of cancer that it came from this Roundup weed killer. You know, because there's all types of things out there that you could get cancer from. And I'm not jumping on one side or the other, just so you know, because I could see someone during a plaintiff's case I'm in, well, didn't you say on Radio Law Talk? No. What I said is these are the arguments both sides. But a lot of times they settle cases, like we've discussed, just to, you know, put it behind them and try to go forward. And the settlement amount was $10.9 billion. Out of the $10.9 billion, $1.25 billion is held out to support for separate class agreements that address potential future litigation. So that's what's going on right now, and they're in the process of, is this settlement. But the important thing that occurred recently this past week is the United States, they're trying to get Monsanto to put now on their labels, Bayer, because it owns now the weed killer Roundup, that this is a cancer warning part of the label, that they have to put a cancer warning. And the U.S. court just blocked California and said, no, they don't.
Wasn't it the French that came up with this conclusion? And they did not say is. They said may.
No, it was the world.
But, I mean, it was led by
the World Health Organization.
Yeah, but it was led by a French research study that said it may. I know that much is.
Well, I know that there are dueling experts on this.
Right.
And like in anything else. And it's funny because I hate to say this, but I'm going to jump on to COVID-19. I listened to a board of supervisors meeting where a person stood up and said, you know, you guys are ignoring the evidence and the clear medical proof that COVID-19 blood does the X, Y, Z, you know, or that masks stop COVID-19. And I said to myself, that's the first time I've ever almost called in and said, actually, you could say alleged, because there's other expert MDs saying the opposite. So you can't say medical proof is that masks do work. Well, there's medical proof that they don't work also by other doctors. And as lawyers, we know that it's dueling experts. And so it's just funny how people say that. It's like, oh, it's all proven. Well, no. There's doctors out there that say the opposite. And that's the same with this case. There's doctors, experts that say this carcinogen, glyphosate,
or however they want to pronounce it. But you know, the interesting thing is that the judge that ruled, that blocked the label, okay, one of the things the article pointed out that I was reading, that the judge I believe spoke about, was that regulators worldwide have determined glyphosate to be safe, with the exception of the World Health Organization. The World Health Organization's cancer research arm determined in 2015 that the herbicide is a probable carcinogen. So here you've got everybody else saying it's safe. This one organization says it's a probable carcinogen. And the judge said, you know what, that's not enough to require this carcinogen warning to be on the label, when only one organization is saying it, and everybody else and all the other regulators worldwide say that it's not.
And the ones saying
plus they don't know how much contact or contamination that needs to be done before it becomes dangerous
right.
either.
And it's a qualified, it's a probable. That's my point with making with Denise earlier, is that it's a probable or may be a cause, you know.
But here's the thing that I look at with this. So the previous story that we talked about was coronavirus lawsuits and what's the causation issue. And as we talked about, you know, masks don't necessarily prevent it. In the California's health directive, it said right in there
that masks may,
but maybe, you know. And so there's this question about causation. And so the idea here is, how can you bring a lawsuit for essentially infecting me with the coronavirus when you're not clear on the causation that was what caused you to get coronavirus? Well, the next story we do is about Roundup, where the issue here is whether or not the thing actually causes cancer. And what are we talking about? Settlements in the billions? We're talking about jury awards in the millions? And they can't even concretely say that it does or doesn't, and yet there are still awards. And that's what scares people about the coronavirus issue is, what difference does it make? You're still going to get sued.
Yeah, and I think if you're in court, that you're on this trial for this, Fred, you've seen this really quickly,
is
people say, oh, well, but the poor guy died from cancer.
Right.
There's got to be a connection, right?
Yeah. You know, I want to talk about the FIFA conviction
really fast.
Really quickly. The U.S. Court of Appeals has upheld the convictions, saying that jurisdiction is proper in the United States because...
Convictions of what?
People convictions of, for criminal wiretapping and mail fraud.
Of officials from FIFA.
Oh, the officials from FIFA were convicted of taking money and bribes. And it wasn't legal in their countries, but it's illegal in the United States. And the U.S. upheld jurisdiction in the United States over these convictions because the money flowed through the United States.
Mm.
This is such an interesting case. I love it.
It's interesting because, and we got a minute to talk about this, it's interesting because, Denise, in their country, their lawyers argued what they did was legal.
That's right.
Yet, and they're out of their country. But the fact that they did it through the United States, through banks in the United States, which were basically, it's what do you call it, quid pro quo, whatever.
Yes.
But you get stuff for giving people things. In other countries, that's not unusual. And they're saying, in my country, it's normal and it's legal. But they're saying, too bad you did it to the United States. It's not illegal
here. That's right. So the banks were here, that the monies were transferred from the United States, and even some goods from those monies were bought in the United States.
And it was upheld. So their jail time is upheld. And by the way, one of them just got out. Got out because of, what do they call it?
Because he was really aged.
And what do they call it, Todd? I don't know.
They feel
sorry for him, whatever it is.
I don't know. Probably engaged to a 30-year-old.
Whatever it is.
What if it
no, compassionate release.
Compassionate release.
Yes. Yeah.
That's right. All right, Cal. What do you want us to do now?
I want you to do your quick takes. And if you got one ready, Fred, go
sure,
ahead.
Sure, let's do one. Quick takes. When you have a man walk up to you and say, I have a podcast saying that there's the end of the world and I write books and it's going to end on July 22nd. Ask him, then why are you enjoying life on the beaches in Hawaii?
Mr. Cunin, what would your quick take be?
Well, if the use of U.S. banks is what gave jurisdiction for FIFA, I see in the future people using cryptocurrency like Bitcoin because it bypasses the banks. It's decentralized currency, and that would do away with the jurisdiction.
Always a criminal mind there, Todd.
Now you tell them.
Yeah, I commend Justin Bieber for standing up to people that are defaming him, allegedly. You need to show that the false claims are taken seriously as well as listening to females.
Thanks for listening. See you next time.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy.
created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices. Our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.